Good morning. I'm so glad that you made it to 2019 and you didn't stay out in 2018. Amen. If you're visiting, welcome to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. We will have a great time together this morning. Amen. Pictures for directory update will start today. So if you need to update the pictures for a directory, please. Mr. Andreas will be doing that today. Stand out there with your wife if you're married. If you're single, have a smile. We'll take a picture of you and get our due directory going. Amen. Please, let's be diligent to make sure that the information is accurate, because sometimes we're making announcements and they're going to the wrong place. As well, this coming Saturday will be the leadership workshop for the family group leaders, deacons. So please remember that this coming Saturday, time will be at 9. The venue will be Decula Park Activity Building, where we did it last year at Decula. The time is 9. We plan to run until 4, but plan to be there until 5. So please, we want to encourage you to be there and to plan to get a babysitter if you need one, so that can happen. Amen. I have another one here that says, it's time to start thinking and praying for our missions contribution. We will start collecting on Sunday, February 3rd, until Easter for the nations, until Easter for the nations. That is, we're having Easter Cultural Sunday this year. So it'll be Easter All Nations Cultural Sunday. So please plan to think about that. We'll be collecting money starting February all the way to April. Think through that. Start planning to give not April, but you can start now. Amen? In fact, you can come up with a plan to give little by little so that you meet your goal by the time Easter gets there. Last year, we got to about 97. I'm not sure, but we got to about 97,000. Amen? Our goal is to blow out that 100,000 and just to make it awesome. So I'll continue with this announcement. It says Sunday, April 21st, all online giving, please designate it to this correct place so that it can be counted. So if you do online, indicate that that is missions. If you do it online, indicate that that is missions or regular or for poor contribution. Does that make sense? So make sure that you're indicating if you're doing it online. If you bring the check, again, please indicate that so we know what's standing in the way. Amen? As well, on a sad note, Tench was here this morning. Jerome Tench was here this morning. Serving, and he was called. He lost his grandmother. So please, let's be praying for him and thinking and how we can encourage him today. It just happened this morning, so please be praying for him. Amen. And as you can see, he really serves hard. He comes here to do that. On that note, I want to encourage people, please reach out to the band and help them serve as well. Amen. And it's just not him. Tommy has gone through that as well, 25th. So there's a lot there that we got to be reaching out to them. Let's pray on that note. Father, we want to put Jerome Tench into your hands right now. It's a hard time. We pray that you comfort him. We pray that we can be that family that reaches out to him and comfort him in this terrible time, oh Father. We also pray, God, for this service this morning, that you may speak to our hearts, that we may hear you, and help us to give our hearts to our minds, to you, Almighty God, as we worship you this morning. Thank you for the class we had this morning. I pray that we'll take time to study that out and come to a place of conviction and understanding according to your scriptures, O Father. It's the name of Christ that I pray and believe. Amen. All right. This particular month, we'll spend our time talking about, on Sundays, talking about just loving and walk. How do you walk with God? How does that look like? And how can you really say, I have a walk with God? Because sometimes that is very left to a very simple thing. I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying. But there's much more to that than just, I have a walk with God. How does that look like for you as an individual? And so we'll look at that the whole month. There are many things we're trying to run into. But today, I want to start with a heart. How do you give your heart to God? If you really think about it, when we think of a heart in the 21st century, we think of a heart in a sense of the scientific way, which is it pumps our blood, keeps us alive, and all that. But from Greek and Hebrew time, the first century time when the Bible was being written, the heart was the faculty of emotion, of feelings. It was a place that directed your morality and how you thought and how you behaved. So when they talk of the heart, they're not talking about the organ that drives your blood. Rather, it's talking about the deep sense of you, your feelings, your thoughts, and how that is driven. So as the Pharisees were asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? His answer was, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, which really he's just quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he's quoting what that is. And so he quotes to them because they know what it says, even though they ask that question. And so how do you give your heart to God? Your deepest feelings, your deepest morality, your deepest thoughts to God. How do you do that? That is what we want to talk about today. Because it's easy for us to say, well, I love God. But the question is, where is your heart? To start with, you've got to figure out what, you've got to understand your heart. Where does that sit in your place of being? Like this morning, where is your heart? Is it here? Is it out there? Are you anxious about other things? Where is your heart? The Bible starts here by saying, do not store up yourselves treasure on earth where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. When it talks about treasure, it's talking about where, now I'll get there in a moment, that if you store your things, if you put your heart on things here on earth, things that can get destroyed, that you've given your heart to something lesser than what God designed it for. He's not saying it's a bad thing to have material things. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that you have given yourself to that and you, God is not in picture. Does that make sense? It's not saying it's a bad thing to have relationships. That's not what it's saying. It's saying you can give your heart to that. And so God doesn't become the source of your spiritual and your life and your sense of being. So it says, but store up yourself treasure in heaven where the moth and vermin do not destroy. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we don't tackle the idea of where is my heart really, we can't give ourselves to God. Honestly, where is your heart? If you really think about it, what really gets you going? If we stripped away everything, would you still stand with God? And I don't wish that on you, but let's say we stripped away everything. We stripped away money. We stripped away prestige. Would you still stand with God? Or would you say, oh, something is wrong if this is not happening for me? Something is wrong in my life. I say that not to scare you about wealth. I'm saying you need that stuff to live, but I'm trying to say this, that God needs to be enough. But not just because we agree with him mentally. That is how we feel, that is what we believe, that's what we see. Without the circumstances forcing that on us. That is who we are, that we're in a situation where we realize God is enough and I don't need all these things, but I walk with them to live. Does that make sense? And so he says there that if where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And I used to have this game with brothers in some churches that I'd say, you know, I can tell where your heart is. If I touch their pocket where the wallet was, they touch their pocket. Say, who's touching my wallet? And I say, we got money in that wallet. If I touch the pocket and they didn't worry, I said, well, you have no money, so you don't care about it. In other words, some of us, certain things get you very agitated. For some of us, if your PSP gets lost, you get agitated. That's your heart, you know? It's just gone. If your phone is not with you, you are like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. Something's going to go wrong. Maybe I'm going to get lost and I can't get home. It's a phone. People lived without a phone before. You know, for some of us, it's just the idea of, oh my goodness, I do not have money in the account right now and I'm going to die. There are people that live without money. Yeah, there are people that live without money. They just go around and say, God, help me out.
We don't understand that concept because we've been conditioned to think that I cannot do without these things. Yeah, we don't understand that concept at all. I've been to homes where I went to those homes and I said, "You guys live here?" Yes, say yes. And they were very happy. And we were so glad you came. And they offered me food. And I had to say, "God, I'm going to be a Jew, but I have never been in such a home. And how do you eat in such a place without having fears? I'll not be okay." And I had to say, "You got to have faith and you'll be fine." But that's my heart was revealed. Your heart will be revealed by different things. You'll be revealed by the conflict, or be revealed by pain, or be revealed by different things. Your heart gets revealed. And many of us, when our heart is revealed, instead of saying, "God, thank you for showing me that," we even get upset and say, "You did this, and this is why my heart is creating all kind of things in me." Oh no, where your heart is, there your where the treasure is, there your heart is. What is it that really gets you? Is it the word of God, or is it something else? I pray that it is God that gets you, not something else. You see, that is how you begin to figure out, understand your heart. Where is your heart? Many of us have overlooked that aspect of, what is my heart? What gets me going? What turns me around? Is it food? Is it a car? Is it what makes me have some joy all of a sudden? Oh my goodness, look at that, whatever. It has to be God. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. Then the eye begins to play now. Now that your heart is playing, the eye begins to play to this role of your heart. The eye, it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye are healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. If you think about it in your life, there are things that got you, that really got you. Sometimes you see certain things and you say, "Oh my goodness, that's awesome." And you covet that stuff sometimes. I mean, let's face it, sometimes you covet your neighbor's grass and how it looks like. "Yes, I wish my grass was like that. Just wish my grass was as green, man. How does he do that?" And you get busy and you get busy with... No. There's some work that's been done and he has a heart of gardening. But you got to stop coveting that and let it come to God, and God may give you some skills about that. Amen? Sometimes we covet the car next to you in traffic. You pull up and all of a sudden you feel like, "Oh, what's wrong with my car?" You covet. Your heart has been revealed. Sometimes we covet other people. We think they have more money because whatever. So all things pop up in our hearts and we're discontent. Our hearts are not sold out unto God. And that is what's taking us away from God. And over a period of time, when you live like that, your heart has moved away from God. Even though you come to church, you've never been grounded by the word of God. So a lot of things hit you left, right, and center. And before you know it, you're not a very peaceful person. You lack joy. You lack peace. You lack patience because you're forever discontent with different things. And you've never learned to figure out your heart and what's controlling. In Proverbs talks about guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. You get competitive. You're so lost in this agenda of life. In other words, you come with your agenda and you want God to rubber stamp it. No. Come to God with an idea, but open to God to fill you with what He desires. Amen. Come to God with an idea, but open to God. That is a hard thing for us to do because for the most part, we are in competition and we are having our own agendas. And one got rubber stamp that. We get so upset and have no peace and yet claim to be men and women of God. It's the eye that has gone wrong, the lamp. The eye is gone and the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if the eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How you see things is very important. Let's face it. For some of us, all we do is walk around judging the world, judging people. How do they look? Their hair, their shoes, whatever. That's all we do on Instagram, on Facebook, and all that stuff. And society is teaching us to be editors, we edit everything. So we're not even learning just to say, you know what? God created that person. God created them in the image of God. We can't just say that they're created in the image of God. They're too tall. They're too big. They're too slim. Long nose, short nose, whatever. You don't know how to just say they're created in the image of God. And then we even shame ourselves. I don't look good like this. I don't look good like that. Unless the doctor is saying something to you, you're okay. Unless the doctor is saying something to you, you're okay. Not the magazines. Not the pundits that talk about image and all that stuff. The doctor. The doctor is what you got to listen to. The light needs to come through our eyes. So we don't even see lost souls anymore. Because we're so caught in this worldly frame of thinking. We don't see the worldly frame. We don't see how people are lost. So we don't tell them about Jesus as we should. Our hearts have moved. Understand your heart. The Bible says no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Yeah, you heard me right. Money. Money. Let's face it. Many of us think, if I have money, I'll be happy. No, you'll default with taxes. No, you'll have fake friends. No, you'll have all kind of people come after you. Yeah, you need money. Don't get me wrong. But money is not the answer. God is the answer. Yes, you need money. You need that money. But God is the answer. You can have a billion, but God is the answer. A billion won't give you peace. You'll be trying to figure out how to invest that. You'll not sleep properly. God is the answer. When you figure that out, that God is the answer, one thing happens. Jeremiah says what? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That is what is missing. You want to engage with God 100%. When you finally figured, I've got to give my heart to God, everything else will follow from that point on. God is the one who provides everything else, but I have to be able to trust that God will do that for me. That's a hard thing. Because we see all these Johnsons cutting corners and we think that's fine. It's not fine. And let's face it, it's hard to confront your heart because you're going to rationalize why you are in that space. The natural way of doing things that we rationalize why we behave the way we do. We don't ask the question, what is creating this and change, and then begin to let Jesus walk through that. Secondly, speech reveals our hearts. Matthew 12:37. So if you want to find God, you got to understand it first and then seek God with all your heart. Then nothing will stop you. Give 100% to that. Matthew 12:33-37. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. That your life speaks something about where your heart is right now. Jokes aside, that your heart says something about where your lifestyle says something about where your heart is right now. It reveals there's an evidence of what God is in your life. How he runs your finances, your relationships, how you're dealing with difficulty. All that is being revealed by how you deal with it. Jesus gets a bit strong here. You brood of snakes. How could an evil man like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. We say things to people, but it's coming out of our hearts. Oh, I just said it. It was just a joke. It still came out of your heart. I was drunk when I said it. It still came out of your heart. I know many people who don't have the courage to say things when they're clear, when they're sober. So they go get drunk and come say things. So I was drunk when I said it. Well, we know what happened. We've been there before. I was not in a good space. A good person produces good things from their treasure of good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Your words are a revelation of your heart. I kid you not, what you say says a lot about your heart. Some of us are in the mode or have a theme of complaining. That is our theme. And some of us are in the mode of never taking responsibility. So whenever we're being confronted, oh, I was just joking. I never meant it. We got to learn to take responsibility about what's going on in our hearts. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Be very careful about the stuff you say. But if we don't pay attention to our hearts, we just say stuff. We just say things. You see, life is driven from your heart. That's where God is figuring out your life. And Jeremiah talks about your heart is deceitful beyond cure. Who can understand it? And then he says that, but God will test everyone and then will be rewarded according to your behavior. So you have to understand this, that our hearts are very deceitful. We have to apply to the word of God to bring it to a place of, this is God's will, not my will. Does that make sense? That the heart has the potential to hide and say, no, let's just rationalize and do this. We're okay doing that. We've got to be able to bring that to the word of God. Litmus test is, what does the word of God say about my heart? And begin to transform that. That when you're in that space, you're not blaming anyone. You're in the space of wrestling with God and say, God, show me what I need to do different. Too many people are comfortable blaming the circumstances and never taking an opportunity to say, yeah, life has not been very easy to me, but I can figure this out with God. In other words, some things have happened that are not awesome, but God can sort that out even though they're not awesome. The word of God has the power to heal us, to heal you, to heal me. That's the power of the word of God. But if you don't apply it to your heart, nothing changes. In fact, you become more critical and hardened when you hear the word of God like that, because you think it's trying to get me out of my corner. No, it is trying to heal you. We live in America where everybody has an opinion. No, God wants you to submit your opinion to Him. That He wants you to submit to God and say, I will lead you on this one. That's a scary proposition, but God knows what is best. So our heart, our speech reveals what is in our hearts. And the question I want to put to you today is, does your speech encourage, comfort, inspire? Does it tear down, bring down, or just, there's nothing there? You don't want to be around that kind of a person. That is something to look at and start changing. Your speech reveals what's going on. So to move forward, how do we move our hearts out of all these things I've been describing? Childlike attitude needs for change of hearts to take place. Children are trusting. Amazingly trusting. That is something that adults have a hard time having, doing, just trusting. Just you're not trusting. Kids are really trusting. And children don't hold things forever. They want to turn things around and move on and what God would do and all that stuff. And that's a big challenge for many of us. I just want to put that to you. How is your trust level with God? If God threw you up in the sky and says, I'll hold you, would you allow that? I mean, imagine you're a grown person and God was standing there and he's throwing you in the air and says, I'll hold you. First of all, you'll just say, wait a minute, that's not dignified. How can you throw me in the air? I'm a big guy. You don't want that to be happening. But that's just the level of trust issues. But let's see. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed a child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It is a scary proposition that unless we are childlike, we may not get to the kingdom of heaven. That we're trusting, we're loving, we want to change. We work out things. We talk how we feel. We talk through the things we are feeling. Children will tell you how they're feeling, and they'll talk through it quickly and want to make a turnaround very quick. They don't hold back. When they're young, they just cry if they're angry, or something is going on. They'll cry. They need a change. They'll cry. They don't pretend. As we grow and get older, we can pretend for a long time. The Bible is very clear here. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of the child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. I mean, look at that apple. One apple is having oxidation issues and going down. It's all your attitude. Same apple, one looks pretty fresh. What attitude do you have? Childlike? Or one that we like to call adult that is really broken down? I do know this for sure. To get a childlike attitude, you have to do a lot of work spiritually. You have to pull layers and layers of emotion and things back. You have to get into a relationship with God first and with people. And then you have to build trust or safe relationships with people to do that effectively. So we cannot say we're going to have a childlike attitude by saying, I'm just going to change. No, you need to connect with God, but connect with people that are safe and pull layers and layers of feelings back. And that's when change happens. Amen? When that is not happening, you're going to find yourself stuck in the same old mold of, I don't trust. So you're stuck again. Here's where we must go. Become like children. That's an attitude. Let us look at some descriptive nature of David's relationship with God. The psalmist has a lot of David stories and other people that write there. And so it can describe. So how does this walk with God look like? How does that look like if I'm walking with God? How does that feel like? David says something like this. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortal do to me? When you look at what was going on at this point, David was being chased by Saul, and he was trying to act like a madman within the Philistines to hide there. A lot was going on. So you are an Israelite, but your own people are trying to kill you, or the king of Israel is trying to kill you, so you run away. Then you come to the enemies. You don't want to be like the enemy, so you try to act like a madman. And then you have to write a song about, God, help me. How do I get out of this? And he says, you know what? I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? That situation did not resolve itself because he said those words. But his heart changed, so the situation became ineffective on him. We know the story that he changed from that situation. Here's the point. The situation doesn't change overnight because you give your heart to God. It becomes ineffective on you. It starts producing anxiety, stress, fear. All that goes away. Why? Because God has become so real to you that situation stops to control you. Then you may not have rent, but you have that faith that I'm going to work this out with God. You may not have a lot of things, but I'm going to work this out with God. That's what happened to David when he said that. So a relationship with God is not that your problems go away, that your heart begins to see God so clearly that you can say, you know what? What will mortal man can do nothing to me. God will take care of me. That space requires wrestling of meditating with the word of God. That space requires that you get into, honestly, we got to get into fasting. That space requires that we take time to pray and say, God, what are we trying to do with this? That is not a space that you do overnight. There is work to be done submitting to God in that area. Amen? Another way that it describes as, well, I think the word changed here. Treasure God's word. Yeah, treasure God's word. Psalm 119, 41 to 44. It says this, Lord, give me your unfailing love, the salvation that you promised me. Then I can answer those who taught me, for I trust in your word. In today's world, you're going to be touted for believing in God. They actually think you're uncivilized. You're backward because you believe in God. I never thought I would ever talk of such a thing in my lifetime. But it is. Some people think you're backward in believing in God. That you're not cool enough. That it was happening back then. Then he says, do not snatch your word of truth from me. For your regulations are my only hope. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. Church, your heart cannot be transformed if you're not letting the word of God speak to you. You may allow history to speak to you stronger than the word of God. You may allow circumstances to speak to you stronger than the word of God. I'm not asking you to deny history, deny circumstance. I'm asking you to let the Bible, the word of God, speak to your issue right now, right there where you are. The reason we are in that place is so that we may find God. Acts 17. The Bible says you're determined where you live so that you may find him. The reason you're going through what you're going through right now is that you may find God. Not that you may justify, get angry, give up on God. It's that you may find God in your circumstance. We pray that God take the problem away. No, look at the Israelites, that they had to go through trouble to find peace in that trouble. We don't find peace when the war stops. You find peace within the trouble. And then when the peace is, it stops, and the nature of life is that you'll have it peaceful issues, peaceful issues, peaceful. So we stop chasing this fallacy of it needs to be peaceful all the time. That's never happening. It's a fallen world. It's a place that will have peace and issues, peace and issues. So instead of trying to steady yourself, not doing anything because you're afraid of disturbing the waters, leave and give yourself to God. The waters will disturb themselves and God will take you through that. You have to let the word of God be what guides you. Treasure it. Treasure God's word. And I got to ask you, how much do you know the word of God? I've got to ask you that question. How much do you know it? I've got to ask you another question. Do you do any studies on it? You know, we Google a lot of stuff. We need to get reliable material when studying the Bible. Get a good commentary. Get a good Bible. Amen? Don't just Google, because everybody puts up stuff there. And just get a good Bible. Yeah, I know that we can use these. They're good apps that really are well done that can help you to study using the computer. You can do that. But get a good stuff and look at things carefully and take time. And if you just read, like I was talking today with Thomas Hood, and we were talking money. And there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that talks about you need money for everything. I say, if you just read that, you'd think, oh man, that's all I need. That's like reading Romans 10. He was saying, if you just read Romans 10 with faith, if I just believe, I'll be saved. That's just one thing. There's a whole story about money in the Bible. There's a whole story about salvation in the Bible. You've got to do a diligent study that helps you to turn around. If you don't do that, your heart gets stuck because you're only reading what you want. This is not a Chick-fil-A, or this is not a Kroger. This is not a Walmart. That you go in and just say, you know what? For today, I want to buy stuff that is Christmas-like. No, 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 no. This is the Word of God. Amen. This is not a restaurant. It's the Word of God. The Bible is not a restaurant that you pick and choose what you like and throw away what you don't like. It's not fish. You got to eat the whole thing. Does that make sense? It's not the bones out and the meat inside. It's the Word of God. There's some strong medicine that is bitter to swallow, and there's some good medicine. Does that make sense? But both are effective. Tell me, any of you, if you like good stuff. Most good stuff is not sweet. Ask the young people. How many of them like vegetables? Oh, we got some there. Yeah. We got some that like vegetables. I was wrong on my area on that one, but most of them don't like vegetables. All right, let's ask. I mean, how many people like ice cream? But you can't live on ice cream, you know? I had to get off ice cream because of health issues, but if I had my way, I would be taking it. You can't just live on sweet stuff. There's some hard stuff in there as well. Does that make sense? We got to get it right. So, treasure God's word. I mean, you really have to treasure God's word. And when I say that, enjoy reading the Bible. Love it. You know, get in there and ask yourself, I want to know what God says about this. Not what people say about it. I want to know what God says about it. I will listen to what all men say and I'll say, okay, amen. I'm going to see what the Bible says. And when you read, don't read with your predisposition. Read with an open heart. Get convicted. Don't read to justify your position. Read with God. Speak to me. Speak to me this morning, speak to me this afternoon, speak to me this night. Amen? I have heard people say, I don't have the time. I said, no, 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 you don't understand. How can you not have the time to see the future? How can you not have the time to be directed today?
That's like saying, I don't have the time to get in the car and then turn the lights on at night. How can you drive a car without lights on at night? Out in the kilo when there's no light. If you live there, I know we love you guys. I love John, but I was there the other day. I said, I've not seen the streets. Where are the street lights in this place? I had to turn the beams full light. I said, okay, we got to see properly. How do you say, I don't have the time to turn on the lights? Help me understand that. That I don't have to turn on the light at night. Are you kidding me? This world is fallen and dark. You need to get in the Word. I don't care how busy you are. You need to get that one down. If you don't get into the Word of God, that is why you're so confused and anxious and unable to overcome. Because you will not hear from God. The source, the Alpha and Omega. So you come this morning, and what I'm doing is really a jump start. This morning I'm doing a jump start. I got all of us hooked up here with the Word of God, and we're jump starting our engines. But you got to learn to run on your own. Way after the jump start is done. You can't keep going to AutoZone all the time. You've got to get fixed and do the right thing. Amen? Let's finish here. Seek God's will. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. This is a convicting scripture. Trust the Lord with all your heart. No reservations. No reservations. With all your heart. That I trust God with all my heart. And then what does it say? Seek His will. I got to ask you a question. How often are you seeking God's will in your job? In your marriage, those of you who are married. In parenting. Or being a child. Or being parented. In your finances. In your future. Are you seeking God's will? Sometimes we come up with this plan and say, this is the plan. But we never pray on it and say, God, we want to stay aware of your will in the meantime. We want to stay aware. And we want to stay aware of your will and where we're going. We want to be conscious of you. So we kind of, there is God, but here's the plan. And we run on the plan, but God has never brought in it and said, God, can you guide us on this plan? It needs to change right now. It doesn't need to change right now. I think it seems fine. And when you walk with God, it's an amazing experience. First of all, it's not hard. It's not heavy. Because you're surrendered. So you're able to say, God, may your will be done. It's fun. It's easy. It is conflicted when you do not let go because you're trying to control it. But when you give it to God, it's easy. It's vibrant. It's clear. That only happens when you get in the habit of checking God's will. Get in the habit of checking God's will. I want to end here by saying that this week, I want to encourage you to start regularly asking, what is God's will for today? When you leave, what is God's will? I have a plan. Amen. I put it before God. If it's your will, let it be done. Otherwise, if you change, I'll be happy. That's like, I want to be on 85, but God's plan is there's an accident. I'm going to take a different detour. You understand that? I want to be on 78, but God's plan is you're going to be on the back streets, going at 25 and 35 at most. Or I want to be on the back streets, but God's plan is you're going to be on 85, going 70, 75. I think that's still legal. You've got to let God guide you. And I want to ask something for us to do together as a church. Can we fast this Friday together as a church for our hearts? You guys think that's a good idea? Yes. Now, if you are on medication, don't do that stuff. And say the preacher said, you know, don't do stuff you're not supposed to do. Fast with something else. Get something that you can fast. But the rest of us, we can fast from dinner time to dinner time. Surely we can do that. Does that make sense? Right. Thursday to Friday night, we can do that. I pray that we can have a great day. But don't fast and be grumbling. While you fast, read Isaiah 58. It may guide you on how fasting is supposed to be done. God bless you.